Okay, before we start, I have to read our sponsor. Okay?
Okay.
All right, hang tight. All right, everybody. Volume 3 is brought to you by Quaver. And what is Quaver? Well, Quaver is a new online platform designed for private music teachers and was designed to take the administrative, time-consuming clutter out of running a private music teaching studio. Too much of a music teacher's time is wasted chasing down payments, organizing a teaching calendar, building an online presence, and finding new students. Quaver will help with all of that. On Quaver, you can automate receiving your lesson payments from your students, seamlessly organize your teaching calendar, and help yourself find new students with an easy-to-build studio webpage. Along with the automated lesson payments, Quaver wants to help private music teachers earn more money. Because when have you ever heard a music teacher say, "I earn too much money"? Never. Quaver will reward teachers with a 1% bonus on their total annual teaching revenue that is processed through the platform. Essentially, Quaver pays music teachers for using the platform to enhance their income. Quaver is free for teachers to use. We are passionate about building the Quaver community, providing a seamless online experience, and to enhancing the lives of music teachers and students. It takes as few as 3 minutes to set up your account and to get started finding your students and enhancing your income. We at Quaver look forward to welcoming you into our online community. Quaver, let's make music together. And you can reach us at www.quaver.io. Not com, not org, .io.
How many times have you rehearsed that since the last time you royally messed it up?
A few. The last time I did it, it was very bad.
You probably sat here for an hour before I got over.
Yeah, because I'm nervous.
And talk to yourself.
Someone sent me this because they believed in this idea, and they wanted me to say it. And yeah. I said, I'm going to give them a rock solid effort, and I'm going to say it how I want to say it. And today we got through it, most of it.
Yeah, you stuttered a little bit.
It's just very, very long.
Yeah.
It's just very long. But I did it well
today. No fault to them.
No. I did it well today.
Yeah.
And thank you, Caroline, for giving this to me to read. Check out Quaver.
Testing your reading skills.
Yeah. Check out Quaver.
It's like back when you had to read in front of the class.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That was always nerve-wracking.
Check out Quaver, everybody. I was in Parkdale today. That's where I had to go shoot.
Parkdale. That's west.
Yes,
that's not west. That's not where you thought, where you told me you were going.
Where did I say I was going?
You said you were going like between here and Downsview Park. That's north.
Yeah, but I'm not wrong though.
Parkdale is west.
It is west, but it's also between here and Downsview.
No.
Well, a little bit.
No.
I was going to ask you this to kick it off, okay?
Okay. Here we go.
What is it about doing free work that you hate? Because you really hate it when I do shit for free.
I hate that.
But why though? Explain.
Because you are already working. And okay. There's two parts to this. There's the part where I knew you before you were making money, and you were making no money,
mm-hmm.
and you were doing this, and you would do some stuff for free,
right.
and I would see you struggle and not be able. At one point, to afford groceries and all that. And at that point, I was like, dude, you're good at what you do. You shouldn't be working for free because you can't even afford to eat.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So there's that point. And then now that you are making money and you are established and you are still very good at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you think something's cool and you want to do it for free, that's all right. But I just see a lot of taking advantage of when that happens and you put so much work into it and you put hours and hours and hours into something and stress into something, and what you do isn't easy. So to do it for free is...
No, totally. And I agree. But don't you think that there's something to be said for doing free shit if it helps? I don't want
to
say brand.
No, because people think it's cool to, or it's okay to ask creatives for free work. And I don't know why that is. I would never work for free in my line.
Totally.
I love what I do, but I would never do it for free.
Right. But I'm saying, though, when you're starting and you're trying...
You're not starting.
Well, but still, though, when you're starting out, and this is maybe this is a message to anyone listening. There's 29 views on the last podcast, so all 30. Maybe there's another viewer. Free work does help, and I suggest everyone do it. I say do it if it helps whatever you want to do as far as whatever kind of content you want to make. Do some free shit because it helps. It helps build a portfolio. It helps build a connection. I think if it helps you get where you want to go and it's not complete nonsense, do some free work. You might make a friend. You might make something really cool. I like to use it as like a testing ground, like a practice. Like if I'm going to, like today I shot it in a way that I don't normally shoot it because I wanted to try something. So low stake. It's cost.
That too, but then they should not have too much of a say in how it looks. If they come back to you and tell you they want 30 different edits, then that's when it comes not free work anymore, and it, you know?
That's true, and I think that there's an understanding.
But when you're saying it the way that you're saying it, where you want to experiment and you want to do this and that, then it should be outlined in the beginning, hey, I'm doing it for free, so mm-hmm. we're going to do it the way I want to do it so that I can challenge myself. And that's the trade-off for it being free.
That's true. I agree with that.
I bet you didn't do that, though.
No, I did. No, I said, you know, 2 weeks, this is what you're going to get. It's going to be free. I'm cool with it. It was cool. Real cool company, real cool guys. And they understood what I was doing. And they're new too. They're trying to get investments and shit like that. So I'm like, yeah, everyone's trying to do it. So might as well, whatever.
But I've also heard you not complain, but mm-hmm. you have a voice about people expecting free things from creatives.
Yeah,
and you have said all along it's not cool, but now you're just preaching, hey, do free work.
Well, I think when it's one of those things where it's like, hey, man, I need a website built. Can you do it for free? Or when people like assume you're going to do it for free because it's work. I think it's because when you build a house or when you make something, like, I don't know, say you're making.
No one would walk into a grocery store and say, hey, give me this for free.
No, totally, 100%. And I think the misconception is that because you're not getting something tactile, like when you make wine, say you're making wine, okay, and you want to make a brand of wine, it's a thing. It's a product that someone can take and consume and enjoy.
Which you have to give away some free to get people to like it. I get that.
Sure. Yeah.
Is that the point you're getting at?
No, but I'm saying, though, I think when you're making something creative, like a painting, or you're making something like music, or you're making something like videos, no one sees the effort going in, because I think with wine, or something like whatever.
So you're making mass quantities at one time.
No. I think people have a...
It's different.
People have
giving away a little bit of free of a mass quantity is different than you sitting down for hours doing one thing that can't be given to multiple people.
No. I'm saying, though, people have an understanding of what it takes to make wine. People have an understanding of what it takes to build a car. I'm saying most people don't have an understanding of what it takes to make something where it's not this thing that you're getting.
And that's your chance to be like, hey, look, to edit 1 minute of video, it takes this many hours.
It does.
Hours. One minute of video.
It takes about, for me anyway, this varies across all video editors and whatever. 1 minute equals 8 hours, equals a day. If you want it to be good, anyway, the way I, if you want it to be decent and you want to spend time on it.
And one bottle of, like your analogy, one bottle of wine, that was... You know,
takes Uncle Frank. Feral. Takes Uncle Frank like fucking 8 months.
But it doesn't make just one bottle.
No,
it
doesn't.
Makes multiple bottles.
It makes many bottles.
So, like the whole analogy.
And that shit's fucking strong.
The whole analogy of when you're starting out as a winemaker, you can afford to give a little bit of that away to test to get people to like it. Whereas if you're doing creative work for free, you're spending hours that you can only give to that one person, and you're doing that for free.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. I think it's
every. I mean, like every once in a while, but when it's a major project,
when you're starting out, and it's cool and it's gonna help.
But
the
I think
brand,
you have enough in your free.
Oh, like I now I'll do free shit if it's interesting.
Yeah. If it's but then it should you should also stipulate like you said you did, that it's your way or the highway, pretty much. If it's for free, it's your way.
I don't know. I think you still have to work with them.
You have to listen to their ideas, but when it comes down to the final vision...
I don't know. I think so. Well, I mean, I think there has to be some give and take, and there has to be some understanding along the way of like, oh, you're donating your time.
Because if it's for free, then you need to be using it for a purpose.
Well, I don't know.
And if it's not the purpose of making your vision come to light, then I don't see what you're really getting out of it.
You're getting to do work. That's the part.
But it's only work if it's paid.
Well, no, but it helps. It furthers your brand. It furthers what you want to do. And it gives you an opportunity to do something.
But if it's something shitty that you don't even end up liking because you're working with them too much, say, you're taking their word too much, then it's not beneficial for you. That's what I'm saying. If it's for free, it should be, hey, I'm doing this for free, so I'm using the way I want to do it.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of that, too. I think you have to understand that if you're doing it for free, that you should have some say in it, most say in it for sure. Even when you're getting paid to do it, you're the one making it. I mean, unless someone wants a turd, then you give them a turd. A
literal turd. Can we have an even, what do we...
What? Okay, no, well...
Just leading up?
Sort of, I guess. I wanted to get that going because I knew that would get you talking because I know that you fucking hate that.
I hate that. Because I saw you struggle for so long and then...
But I think it also serves a purpose. But it's neither here nor there. We're here for you.
Me?
We're here for you tonight.
The star.
So we have my girlfriend here. At the recording of this podcast, she's still my girlfriend. So
who knows?
Heather has...
Heather and I.
Heather has some big time serious thoughts about her line of work. And Heather is a, we'll call her, what are you, like your server bartender.
But what else are you?
What else am I or what else are
you? No, that's what the people say when I say, oh, I'm a server. But okay, what else?
Listen, well, I'm setting it up here. Hold on. Right. You'll get a chance to defend yourself. Okay. So she is a bartender at one of the highest volume places in Canada for the company or just in general?
In general, I don't know statistics, but I know the company that this restaurant is under is the highest grossing in Canada. Okay. And then the specific location I work at is probably the highest out of all of that company. And I will correct, I'm mostly a server, sometimes a bartender.
Okay. Yes. Mostly a server, sometimes a bartender. Working at a very high, fast pace location. And
sorry, I crunched a cornet.
That's fine. You can have that's what they're there for.
I'm eating a cornet.
They're there to eat. I've provided you a lovely little buffet.
It's a bad snack to eat while podcasting. Well, I'm crunching right into the microphone, but I'll try not to.
That's fine. You can do what you want. Be comfortable.
Snacky.
So that's what she does. And she has some serious thoughts about the industry and where she's going, because a lot of people, and I may have been on this team, but it sort of fits into the starving artist kind of thing where you're at this level and you're either trying to level up or you want to stay there and be the best you can at it. But it seems to me that when you're in the serving industry, like being a bartender, like being a server, it has this stigma of like, I'm a server, I'm a bartender. And then people always ask the follow-up question of, well, where is it that you want to go or what else do you want to do? And you come from the school of, you know what, I really like doing this. What's wrong with doing this for X amount of time? Mm-hmm. So what do you say when people say, oh, that's all you do? Because I guarantee you that everyone, maybe people don't want to do it forever, and I don't think you don't want to do it forever either.
Maybe not this specifically.
Right. So like, but I'm saying though, you want to end up moving up to like management.
I want to, I end game is owning my own bar.
Okay. So this is like the first climb to owning your own
but
bar.
But I have no qualms with being a full-time almost 30-year-old server.
So what is the stigma then? So why? So when someone says, well, so why do you think that
people
is?
People don't, and maybe it's what we're taught in school where it's like, oh, you know, take your science, take your math, take your whatever, and you'll find yourself a good 9-to-5 job. Maybe that's where it comes from, but people just don't see serving as a legitimate job.
And why is that?
Because I think it's what we're taught in school is, hey, like there's all these degrees to get you to be, you know, a teacher, a scientist, a whatever the fuck, accountant. And those are all 9-to-5 positions.
I don't think scientist is a 9-to-5.
If you're working in like a lab or something, or okay. like for a company.
Okay. Yeah. So you're talking like, okay.
Okay. I'm not talking like a scientist as in like he's starting his own company. He's like a startup. He has an idea. He's, you know.
Okay.
Whatever. I just think a lot of what we're taught that a 9-to-5 is normal. Mm-hmm. Is the norm. And the majority of civilization gets into that. And then there's people like, say, you who aren't, you know, it's constantly going and serving is constantly going. Your schedule's never the same. You tend to work nights and yeah, I don't know. People just don't think it's a legitimate job. And also because a lot of people who are, you know, actors or artists or other non-conventional 9-to-5 jobs use serving as an extra, a bonus to a supplement to their income because it allows them also, like we have a lot of actors that I work with, it allows them to still be, you know, a role. Like you're still you're a character when you're talking to people.
Oh, so you're taking it. So you're saying at work, sometimes.
Oh yeah,
you have to play a bit of a. How many people do you think would agree with you on that?
I think everybody who's served in a stressful environment knows that you have to act. Like you can be almost in tears because you're stressed out and this table's an asshole, but then you have to go back and like act like you're super happy to the next, right? You can never show your emotions, your actual inner emotions, to a table. Otherwise, you're gonna fuck up their experience and then they're not going to have a good experience and then your job's not being, you're not fulfilling your job, you know?
And then you end up not getting that tip.
And then you end up not being, it's not about tips, you're not going to have a job. If you're not able to put on if you're not able to save face, you're not going to be a good server and you're not going to have a job.
What makes a good, let's talk about Bart. I feel like in Toronto, there's a lot of people in your position and it's like an actual like industry. Like people do this for a living forever. So since you're in it and you're at a very high volume place, what makes a good bartender? I'm going to mix a drink while you talk about this.
In a place like my bar or my restaurant,
I'll be right back. Keep going.
Depends, because if you're working at a legitimate, you know, kind of more high end or niche bar where they're known for their cocktails, then I'd say in a restaurant like mine, bartending is easy. I don't want to say easier. I want to say not as hard. Or on the same level as serving, whereas bartending in a niche restaurant or a niche bar or a higher end bar, you're a mixologist where you need to know flavors. You need to know what mixes with what, and it's more of like a science. And that is an art on its own. It's different than, much different than where I work. I work at a corporate place where the cocktails are the same. You know, we work off recipes that are fairly simple. We don't really have, other than some contests here and there, bartenders who make fancy, you know, outlandish drinks that cost $20. You know, ours are the standard $10 cocktails, and they're made in mass quantities. We pre-mix a lot of our simple syrups and our, you know, mixes and all that. So in that point, it's not much difference in serving. When I'm on bar, I much prefer making the cocktails because you're kind of just like zoned in and you're pouring beer and you're just pouring vodka sodas and you're just like in a mix of chits and just focusing on something.
I feel like bartending, especially in a busy place, is like a bit of a, well, like you said, a bit of a science. But it's also exciting, I feel.
Yeah, it takes a lot of memory because we do have a lot of cocktails that you have to know how to make. They're just not expertly crafted like a more fine dining place where you're spending $20 on your, you know,
on your bevy,
on your 2 ounce drink. Ours are more, you know, simplified because we are a corporate giant restaurant. So when I'm behind bar, I feel it's different than serving in a sense that when I'm not making, like, there's the service bartender who's doing the drinks, following the chits, and then there's the wood bartender who's going around and talking to the people sitting at the bar and taking their orders and punching their orders in, their food, their drink, and all that. That I am not a fan of. I feel like people sit at the bars. I'm generalizing here giantly. People sit at the bars are like the weirdos. They're the ones who want to talk and spend a lot of time, a lot of your time talking and making conversations. And
wait. So the people that sit at the bar are weirdos. Why?
I'm generalizing here. I'm not talking about the people. We don't have any seats left in the restaurant. You're going to sit at the bar. I feel like the people who are by themselves specifically they sit at the bar and they're the ones who want to take your time and talk and hear stories.
Well, because you're pretty.
No, I mean, they do that to all bartenders.
Well, yeah, but like in general, I'm saying you sit at the bar, you're going to strike up a conversation with the only person paying attention to you. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and it's just sometimes that's why I don't like, I'm not that kind of bartender. I'm more of a bartender where I like to make drinks. I don't like to make conversation.
Why not then?
I'm
don't you want to make conversation and make everyone feel like comfortable and
I like to be friendly. I like to make them feel like they're important and that I'm taking care of them.
Right.
But I don't want to talk about my life story with people. You know?
I guess, like, though. I guess. Especially if it's busy.
Especially if it's busy. And there's people who like, see that you're swarmed and they're just keep talking. And you don't want to be a bitch and, like, cut them off. So you just stand there and be like, yeah, okay. And then it's, yeah.
You said that there's creepy people. And I feel like in the bar world, I feel like in the club world and the bar world especially, if you're mixing the drinks and you're serving someone who's sitting at the bar,
get away. You're behind that bar. You can't walk away.
You can't walk away. So I assume you put up with some fucking shitty people every once in a while.
I feel like I've dealt with more shitty people serving just because I've done it more.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, yeah. So serving, you would deal with shitty drunk people. I assume most of the time they're drunk. Do you get sober shitty people?
Yeah, you get sober shitty people. There's shitty people always, but it's a smaller percentage. The more people drink, the shittier they get.
That's a good point.
I have a few examples, but one that happened last night. I served these two guys. They didn't say much when they came in. They ordered some beers. They ordered some appetizers. Made it clear that they were just there to drink for a couple hours. And I was like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was a busy night. It was a Raptors game that night. So, you know, we're in that vicinity. So we were getting pretty busy. But so it started as they ordered two steins. And then they were like, okay, we'll just do pints. And then it turned into a few pints after the stein. Then they started getting, their creep level started coming out.
Oh, no.
it started with the standard, I like that you're tattooed. And, like, it's just the way they say it. Not like, oh, what does that mean? Which is annoying in itself. Well, I get it all the time.
Give the people a picture of your tattoos. So what exactly do you have and where are they? Because they're very noticeable. If you're fucking serving someone and you see the fucking...
I mean, I don't blame them, but it's just like, I have never looked at someone that I didn't know and asked them, what does that mean? Hey, I like your tattoo. What does that mean? So I just don't get, I mean, maybe because I have them, but it's just annoying. Annoying to be, oh, what does that say? What does that mean? What is, what?
Okay. I don't. But no. don't you think it's I'm not gonna say human nature, but don't you think it's a thing? It's a thing to ask when someone has.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I'm not totally faulting people. I'm just annoyed most of the time. I answer friendly, but no, this guy was like. Yeah, I do have on my left arm, I do have quite a few. Not a full sleeve, but it's patchy.
It's like, quite painted.
It is. And then I have one on my collarbone on my right side that our dresses for work cut off part of it. So it's words and people are like, oh, what does that say?
What about the one on the back of your neck?
That one is my nemesis.
But that's the one that everyone's going to ask.
I know. It looks like and I have short hair right now, and my neck isn't covered. It's slowly getting there. Slowly. I think it's like half covered now. But for a while, my back was shaved, and everyone could see it. And
that's the one you get the most pissed off about. But it's the one that everyone would ask questions. You have numbers on the back of your neck like a fucking cyborg.
I know. I have... three lines of digits on my neck.
And they represent
my marathon times.
There you go.
But it's to a point where I have people I work with come up to me who don't even know what these numbers are. People I know and I have relationships and I see every day and we're good friends. We have a really good family at my work and we're all like really good friends. They come up to me and they don't even know what it means. And they go... So my table just asked me what your numbers on the back of your neck mean. Yeah. So people I'm close with don't even know. But then these random people who don't know me that I'm not even serving ask someone I know what they mean. Like, it's just weird.
I know. But you know what, though? You have tattoos. You have numbers on the back of your neck. People are going to ask. People are going to ask what it is.
So my manager calls me inmate 41432.
Yeah.
Because that's my best marathon time.
Yeah, exactly. And people are going to ask what it is. I would, if I didn't know you and you were serving me and I see you walk away and you have...
Don't ever ask a girl what her tattoo means, please. Okay. Don't ever ask your server. Do not do it. Don't. She hates it.
What if you're genuinely curious?
No, nope, she hates it.
Really, eh?
She hates it.
You think that...
hates you. She hates it. Stop.
Is that sentiment... Okay, is that sentiment shared?
You have a girlfriend, so... Okay. Do it. She can hate you all you want.
But I'm saying, though, is that... You think that sentiment is shared?
Oh, yeah. This girl... Okay. Another... Oh, can I finish? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, the first story I was talking about with this guy was like, ooh, I like that you're all tattooed. And then his friend beside him goes, I like that you're like a foot taller than me. And I'm just like, ew. Like, why does that need to come out of your mouth right now? Like, and it's just the way they say it.
Did they say it like that?
No, especially the one about the height thing. He's like, I like that you're like a foot taller than me. And he like gave me this little like smirk and I'm like, great, cool.
Wait a minute. How short was he?
Shorter than a 5'9" and a half girl. So can't be, I mean, I'm 5'9", which is.
You're not 5'9". As much as you want to think you're 5'9".
I'm 5'9¾", no, guys.
You are a triple...
My dad is a carpenter. He measures me.
You're a triple digit lady. You're like 5'10".
I'm 5'9¾", so I'm just under 5'10". But let me tell you, that is tall, but for a guy, that is very short. So if he's shorter than that, then that's short.
I'm fucking that. I'm 5'9".
You are short.
Exactly.
I'm not saying it's a fault, but he's making it like, oh, you're so tall. I'm like, oh, well.
That's a foot. That's a big exaggeration.
Anyways.
Because if he was 5'8", that'd make him...
You wanted to talk about 6'8". Whether I think it's a common thing with girls with tattoos. Yes.
Who serve. That yes. They don't want, they so don't there want was. People asking. Is that, so you think it's a common...
Yes. So thread. I know a girl I work with has a tattoo. So the one on my collarbone says surrender to nothing.
Right.
I work with a girl who has one that says "This too shall pass," I believe, something like that, in the same spot. She hates it to the point where she wants to get it removed mm-hmm. because of how many people ask her about it.
Okay.
Because when you get something on your body, you get it for personal reasons. You don't think, hey, how many people are going to ask me about this? Should I do it? People are going to ask me all the time. No, you don't think about that. You think about, this means something to me. I'm going to get it. So when someone asks you all the time what it means to you, it's just like it loses meaning to you. So it got to the point to her where she doesn't even want it on her body anymore. And
that's silly, but okay.
About a week ago. No, you don't have... mini tattoo that no one ever notices.
I have my toonie sized camera reticle on my wrist.
Yeah. About a week ago, there was a gentleman sitting at the bar. I wasn't at work. I heard all about it the next day.
Okay.
There's a guy sitting at the bar with a couple of people. He asked this girl, who's not a bartender. She was... She was picking up drinks at the bar for her table. So she wasn't responsible for serving this guy. She's not responsible for making his day happy. Nothing. Like, she's just doing her job.
Okay.
He asks her, or he, like, kind of shouts over to her, like, oh, like, what is that? Or, like, your tattoos, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't know exactly what he said to her, but she kind of ignored it and, like, kept doing the job she needed to do for her tables. And then, like a typical Toronto male who doesn't like when females don't respond to their compliments, he starts insulting her and getting loud and vulgar and calling her a bitch and a slut and entitled and rude. And she thinks she's above everybody, blah, 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 blah. He ends up getting up and lifting his shirt and showing her a tattoo on his stomach. It's a gang sign, apparently. Saying he's going to send his sister over tomorrow to kill her.
Why his sister?
I don't know. Because he's...
It's an interesting person to send.
And maybe... So it's girl on girl, so it's not so unfair. I don't know. Fucking know. But he threatened her life. And that was all because he was asking her about her tattoo and she didn't want to respond and she's a female. And he decided to berate her. Whatever.
Yeah, that's heavy.
So that is something that happens. Even in our place of work, that happened right at my job. Yeah. He ended up getting thrown out. For whatever reason, I wasn't there. They let the people he was with stay.
And they kicked him out?
They only kicked him out.
I mean, if the one guy is being belligerent, then I guess he doesn't.
But it's just like if one table gets cut off, the whole table gets cut off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But I mean, there you go. That's a pitfall of your business. Right? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Does that make sense that they all don't get the boot?
I mean, I think they should have... If my friend got kicked out because they were dumb, I'd feel embarrassed and I would leave.
Sure.
I would leave on my own.
Yeah, because you have some sense about you. But there's people out that maybe not have any sense and go, oh, fuck.
Well, maybe being an idiot. I wasn't there. Maybe they said absolutely nothing and they didn't deserve to be kicked out. I don't know. I wasn't there. That's what I heard, but... Yeah, she was threatened. Her life was threatened all because he asked her about a tattoo and she wasn't his guest. So she kind of was doing her job and kind of was busy and kind of ignored it. And he ended up threatening her life.
And you still want to do this forever. See what I... But I mean, obviously, okay, you just went on a tangent about the shitty side of doing this, right?
Yeah, I mean, I told you that one time. I had a group of like... late 40s, maybe early 50-year-old men who came in. There was like 8 of them. One of them was the nicest person I've ever met. The rest were saying inappropriate things from the time they came in.
Yeah, but they're 50.
But then this one giant fat dude was just so sweet. And he's always like, he would call me by my name and be like, Heather, I'm so sorry about them. Like, just, it's okay, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I dropped off a beer, and I'll never forget this because it's the worst thing I've ever, like, they were inappropriate to me the whole time. So it's not like, there's a difference between me coming up and starting to joke with a table and, like, picking up off their vibes. Because that's one thing. You have to pick off a table's vibe.
You sort of have to, like.
And if they give off uncomfortable vibes right from the get-go, I'm not going to feed into it. I'm going to be, like, closed off, and I'm not going to accept it. But if you're, like, a more, like, mature... but you joke around, in a non-threatening way, I will totally joke around with you. But if when it's threatening and like they seem like they're legitimately misogynistic and assholes, I am not taking it. So this table was like that from the get-go, except this one man. And then I go and I drop a beer off in front of one of them. And he goes, ooh, good thing I like head. And one of his friends goes, what do you even say to that? And I said nothing. And I walked away and I told my manager and they said, I'll kick them out right here. Like if you want me to. Yeah,
but you know in his head he was thinking about saying that from the minute he fucking
I know. In. And that's why I'm saying you read off people. You read off people. And if they give you that creep vibe right from the get-go, I'm not going to feed into it.
What is it about?
There are servers who may be like, oh, I'm going to make like thousands of dollars off these people. No, I don't care. I'm a person. I'm doing my job. It's not about the money to me. I'm not going to give in to your creep misogynistic attitude. I am going to do my job. And if you want to tip me like shit because I'm not going to feed into your shit, then okay.
What is it about bartenders and servers that make people think that it's
okay to talk to us like that?
It's okay to talk to, like, because I'm sure guys get it the same.
I'm sure the generation.
I mean, maybe not. That's a lie. Wait, I take that back. I'm sure guys get it. Definitely not as bad as you guys, especially. Oh, guys,
definitely
here.
Get it.
Yeah, it's not. I feel like it's still not as bad as you guys.
No.
As the female.
Oh, there's guys side. That have fully asked me what my tattoo says on my collarbone and grabbed my strap of my dress to move it out of the way to see what it says instead of just waiting for me to tell them what it says.
No, that's assault.
Yeah. So. And yeah.
But what is it about the world that you work in that makes? Because I've seen it. I used to work, I was a club photographer for a couple of years, and I saw it, and it seemed like everyone, it wasn't accepted at all, but it seemed like it happened a lot. There was a lot of that going on, where you know? Why, though? Why, you've been doing it. Why do you think that it happens so much in the world that you work in?
Because it's mostly, I mean, we do have a lot of male staff, but it's mostly female, and generally, I don't know, it's the generation, I guess. There's a specific age group that is creepy.
That's for sure. That's something that you've noticed 100%.
There is a specific age group that is more creepy than the rest. Mm. I mean, there's a creepy people from all ages, yes. But there is a specific age group that thinks they know how to talk to a woman and they own women.
And what age group, in your opinion, is that?
It's the mid to late 40s, early 50s. Also a plus to future marry a server. They're never going to be fat because we walk... Like sure. Kilometers a day.
You guys, like what, 50,000 steps a day or something like that?
I don't know. I work like 11-hour shifts a few times a week, and then I also don't want to be fat lard while I'm walking around, so I work out on my other days.
Sure.
So like,
but I mean, I think that age group that you say is super creepy. I think it's because they've hit a stage in their life, and maybe they're very unhappy, and they just kind of.
I also think they came up, they grew up in an age where the women were more the caregivers, which is today too. I mean, people are debating it more so that like, oh, women are the maternal ones. They need to be taking after the babies more. Like people just see women as more of the server. Like, we're here to serve you, so that they think, for some reason, that it's okay to come into our workplace. Yes, we're serving you, but we're not yours, you know? We're not yours.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
We're working. We're doing this for the whole restaurant. We're not yours. You can't treat us how you want to treat us.
Right.
We will serve you. We will be here for you, but you can't treat us the way you want to treat us. You still have to be a civilized person. Like,
sure.
I'm not your wife at home. You can't speak to me like that.
Valid. Yeah. And it makes sense. And I think the examples that you're giving are like, I think it's the extreme ends of the scale.
Oh, there's people, rarely. There are people.
Like what you're talking is like the extremes.
There's a right way to say something complimentive to someone, then, and there's a wrong way. And most of the time, unfortunately, it's the wrong way. I had a very nice, very, very sweet, I had a vibe. He had like clothing on, like he was like a football coach or something. Like he had a lot of logos on his like bag and his jacket. And it seemed like he was from the States, and he was this really like in his 40-year-old man, just a nice man. And I served him, and he, at the end, like, nowhere throughout the service did he say anything. This is the way you say something complimented to someone without being creepy. The very end, his payment had gone through. I was ripping off his receipt, put it down. He goes, "I just want to let you know I think you're very beautiful, and I want you to have a very, very great day."
What a sweet man.
And I said, "You know what? I wish the same for you." Well, no. He's like, "I think you're very beautiful, and I wish you have a great day." And I'm like, "I wish the same for you too."
That's very nice of him.
Yeah, that's our last little encounter. He knew he wasn't going to see me again, and that was that. Whereas people who start doing it right at the beginning, you're just like, "Oh, I deal with you for the next how many hours?"
Yeah, it's got to be shitty.
Yep.
You think most female servers deal with this?
Oh, all of us.
Or bartenders? I think being a bartender would be worse.
No, bartenders seem. With bartenders, like, you can see how busy someone is, so people, I don't know, depends. It depends.
I think it depends where you are, too. Like, well,
yeah. If the bar is dead, then, oh, that sucks. If you're the one person sitting at the bar and they can see that you're not busy, that sucks.
And then you get zoned in on. So you've been talking a lot of, okay, let's, okay.
Yeah, we're talking like the same thing over.
No, but you're talking, so everything up till now has been a semi-negative. Of the bullshit of the job, which is, I mean,
there's
this is
many
what it's
positives.
About. This is what it's about. We're talking about the horse shit that you have to go through to do your job and to get where you want to go. So let's switch a little gear here and go, so this job is obviously fulfilling for you. You love bartending, you love serving. What are, I guess, for people listening who plan on doing it for a while, who want to move up in the ranks, what do you have to do? Or what is a day like in the world of a bartender then?
Okay, so everyone thinks that anyone can serve, which may be true if you're serving at a little diner in a small town that gets like 20 guests a day. Yeah, anyone can serve. It's easy. But when it comes to a high volume place in the core of a giant city, it's not so easy.
Well, explain.
Yeah. So the other night we had a big event in the vicinity. For example, there was a concert earlier this week at the Scotiabank Arena, Florence and the Machine, and we weren't expecting too much. We're right in the general vicinity. We didn't expect, for some reason, management didn't think that it was going to be a big, you know, crazy rush for it. She didn't sell it out. Let's just be honest. She didn't sell it out. So we cut down on servers.
Florence didn't sell it out?
No, she didn't. She's been, where's she been for the last couple of years?
I don't know.
Nowhere.
Florence and the Machine.
She didn't sell it out.
So Florence nor the Machine sold it out.
Neither of them were able to sell it out.
What a...
I mean, the Scotiabank Arena is huge.
Garbage ass.
No, she's great because we got fucked. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, you can swear.
Okay. I don't know where you're putting
this. You're allowed to swear. Just don't say names. Don't be specific about, like, if you're going to talk shit, don't be specific about who you're talking about.
Okay.
Don't name drop. Like, don't do that.
Okay.
So
we didn't think it was going to be busy, and we got fucked. So they had cut down on some servers, and I ended up having a section that had 12 two-top tables.
What's a two-top table?
So two people.
Oh, okay.
So four-top is four people, six-top is six people, eight-top is eight.
So 12 tables of two.
12 tables of two.
All right.
Which are, I mean... If it's a slower night, then big tables could be good because, like, you just get a giant party and their bill's high or whatever. But on a night where you're fucked, let me tell you, having all two tops is great. So I had 12 tables, whereas normally on, like, a Leafs night or whatever, they end up giving us, like, a four-table section where we have, like, eight heads, which is eight people. or more than that, but like 12 heads, whatever. So I had 24 heads and it was before a concert. So like everyone's on a time crunch. They need to get out of this time. They need to go to the concert. And the good thing about Two Tops, having 12 of them, there's always someone leaving. Like out of all those 12, there's always someone finishing up, at least one. So then when they finish up, a new table sits. So constant, like constant flip. We call it flipping. Flipping.
So just people coming in and out and
in and out, and out, flipping.
Super quick. All right.
Yeah. So I had 12 tables flipping for 3 hours and it was great. And I do my best work when we call it weeded. So when we're running around frantic, have so many tables, we don't know what we're doing with ourselves. I do the best work when I'm weeded because I'm in the zone. Like I just, we call it, like, so when someone orders oysters or whatever, we drop the spoon, the little baby spoon in the fork for the oysters. Or someone orders wings, we drop the bowl with the napkins and the wet naps. Like, usually if I'm bored and I don't have a lot of tables, I forget that shit because I get sidetracked and I don't care. Like, not that I don't care. It's just like I'm bored and I'm just like, punch this in mindlessly, you know? But when I'm weeded, I just remember that. And I do my best service when I'm weeded.
Is weeded a phrase that's common throughout the industry?
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows what weeded is. Okay. We're in the weeds. And some people can't handle that. Some people can't handle the weeds. Some people freak out.
Do they freak out?
Have an anxiety attack because they're like, I can't take anymore. Anytime I'm weeded and someone's like, hey, can you take another table? I'm like, just give it to me. Just bring it on. I do my best service when I'm weeded. And obviously it pays off because the more weeds you're in, that means the more people you're serving, that means the more money you're making. So it's just, I don't know. So not everyone, no. The answer is no. Not everyone can be a server because not everyone can handle 12 tables of two people asking for different shit at a time. I don't write anything down too, also. Can I say that? Unless I have a table of more than six, I don't write anything down. So if I have that 12 tables of two people, I'm not writing a single.
Yeah, wait, why? Okay.
I don't write a single thing down.
No. And I always, why is that? Why does that happen? I notice that some servers write shit down, some servers don't. What's the fucking difference? Is it just because one can remember and one can't?
One's better at multitasking than the other.
Well, no. Okay, that's the Hollywood answer. I'm talking about, like, why do some people write shit down and some people just go, okay, yeah, no problem. Because I've been at places where there's been, like, six of us and the girl come, or yeah, whoever's serving us will come
six
around.
Six is easy.
Okay, and the girl will come around and go, okay, you want that, you want that.
Modifications and everything. I've had tables ask me, hey, are you going to remember this all? I'm like, do you want, we'll find out. And then nothing ever goes wrong.
And so it's just like a preference thing when it comes to like,
I find writing down is just not useful. I'm doing. And so my restaurant's trying to drop these iPads or like tablet type ordering systems where you stand at the table and you punch it in on the iPad.
I've seen this. I think that's cool.
And I hate it because my service goes, I mean, I don't mind it if we all have that, but I'm not going to sit there punching it in at the table because when I'm taking someone's order, I am doing things with my hands. So someone is asking me or like saying, I want this. I'm taking their menus away. I'm clearing the side plates if they're not sharing anything. I am doing things with my hands as I'm taking the orders.
So it slows you down to write shit down.
It slows me down to write shit down. It slows me down to punch things in on the iPad. The only benefit to these tablets I find is I can turn my back to the table and punch it in instead of waiting. I'm not talking into that mic.
That's right. You're not talking to the mic.
I can turn around with these tablets and punch in the orders that I just took in my head rather than going to the computers. There's only a few computers in the restaurant, so sometimes you have to wait in line for it. So the only benefit to me is, like, I don't have to wait for a computer, but I don't like punching things in at the table because I'm doing things with my hands and it saves me time as a server just because I can remember things. I'm good at remembering. I know the menu. That's the thing. It's like, I know the menu. I, even with modifications, because I know the menu so well, I can remember the modifications easily, mm-hmm, even if it's six people. So when I have a 12 table section, it's great because I can just go down the line, be like, hey, do you need anything? Do you need anything? Do you need anything? What can I get you? And just boom, 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 boom. I do a lap. I punch everything in. It's good to go.
Where you guys are is where is very, very busy.
Yep.
What has been from, how long have you been there for? A year? Year and a half?
A year and 3 months.
Okay, so a year and a bit. What has been the craziest night that you can remember as far as just busyness, as far as like losing your mind, getting to the brink of it? Because you obviously love it. Mm. You like doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And on nights like, so I love it when I have like a tight edit. So if I have to like turn something around quick, that's when I find I'm in the fucking zone, is when I have to turn something around quick. And, you know, I have time during the day and at night, but I have to turn it around quick. And that's how I love working like that. I think my best video I ever made was on like a, it was a trailer, and I had to do it in, I think it was a day and a half.
So, oh, the York trailer.
The football trailer for the,
that's great.
For the season. That was my, I think to date, that's my favorite really one. So for you, what has been the craziest night that you've ever had at that place?
Oh, man. And then that's the thing, is there's people that can remember that stuff, and I honestly don't even pay attention to it. I don't know.
I feel like you would have an idea, though, what was the absolute craziest, busiest
night. It's got to be anytime there's a concert, like a big... Okay, I'd say anytime there's a big oldies concert, like... Elton John. Like
Phil Collins.
Or Phil Collins. Or
Elton John was here. How was that night then?
There was two nights.
He was and there
they were
twice,
great
yeah.
because there, I mean, all age groups go because he's a legend. There was people coming in all day long. People came in from out of town, so they were there for lunch and they stayed for dinner. And like, I feel like anytime there's a concert, a big concert going on that's older, brings out an older crowd,
mm-hmm.
is the best nights, because those are the nights where we're super busy because there's the older clientele who can spend money on getting dinner before the concert. You know, when it's like...
So Monday nights would be older generation kind of thing.
It's busier. It's busier. Nights where it's, you know, not to be... I guess like ages. Is ages?
Talking about like as far as like
against like judging aging like ages? Oh,
whatever, fucking judge. Who gives a shit?
Anytime it's, you know, more of like a younger pop group or
okay, so like if Drake comes
or a rap artist
or okay,
it's not as good. Let's okay. just say that.
Well, because we're fucking
broke.
Because
they all pre-drink. Yeah. I mean,
we're fucking broke. Just
we're
say
part
it.
Of this.
Well, millennials were broke as fuck. I'm saying as a whole, what you're saying is anytime a younger, more popular artist comes, people spend less.
Because people of that age pre-drink at their house, get wasted, and then go to the concert. They don't go out and have $10 drinks at a bar.
No, you're right.
Whereas people my parents' age,
well, because it's different,
will come and see Elton John and spend $100 and something sure. on dinner and drinks.
Because there's disposable income. There's money that they have.
So those nights. So your question was, which nights are the best? And those are the best nights.
What about Leaf games?
Leaf games too. People who have money to spend on Leaf games have money to spend on steaks, dinners. Like,
that is true. That's, you're not wrong about that.
Leafs are better than Raptors. Old concerts are better than new concerts. That's
interesting.
Jays suck.
Like as far as
bringing money in.
I think there's just because there's so many games in a season. You're not.
And because they were so bad this season.
They were very bad this year.
I mean, the days that they had like early Sunday games or whatever were great for brunch, mm-hmm. but. They never drew a post-game crowd during the week. Nothing.
Hmm.
Because no one went to Jays games.
Well, the Jays were not very good this year.
See, that's the thing. It's like a baseball season so long.
So long. There's a lot of you think about it. What,
so long. So that when if they're not doing good, people give up by mid-season and they don't go to the games. Right?
Yeah, there's a lot
of
Leafs.
I don't get it. The Leafs can suck. But I guess it's a bit of a shorter season.
Leafs will always be but, popular, though.
Yeah. For some reason, they can be the bottom of the league and people will still go.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's the Leafs and you're where you are. Your geographical location.
Jays.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's this city. And
Rogers Center's bigger, I get it.
Yeah, but like, the Leafs are like king. Like, that is the pinnacle of sports.
Jays are the only fucking MLB team in Canada.
Sure, but it's the Leafs,
in though. Canada.
But it's the Leafs.
I much prefer to go to Jays game than Leafs game.
Well, yeah, because A, we can afford it. Fucking Jays $5 tickets.
Even if Jays were as expensive as the Leafs, I'd go for a Jays game over the Leafs.
Jays games are fun. Baseball games are fun.
So much fun. I love
baseball games. Are a lot of fun. I went to a preseason Leaf game. It was cool. Very corporate. Super corporate. A lot of non-fans. A lot of people that like...
Yeah. My dad and I would do road trips. My dad did road trips with all the kids to different cities to go to baseball games in the States, and we would get like decent tickets, and everywhere around us, like I remember Pittsburgh, it was all men in suits just talking to clients.
At a Pirates game?
Yeah.
It's a nice stadium though.
Oh, I love that stadium. It's been there twice. I love it.
It's a very, very nice stadium.
I saw Casey Jansen there. Mm. Casey Jansen threw me a ball.
He's the hot guy that you like? Is he not hot?
My favorite, I don't think he's hot. No, I wouldn't say he's hot. But he was the Jays relief pitcher for years, and he was so good. He would do like 1, 2, 3, like boom, 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 strikeouts.
Mm.
He got traded. He played only for the Jays and for Washington, and then he got traded to Washington. I was in Pittsburgh while Washington was playing Pittsburgh. So my mom, dad, and I were in Pittsburgh, and we went to a game. He was warming up to... close the game, but then they were up too much, so they didn't need him. But I was wearing my Jays Jansen jersey.
That's right, yeah.
And I was behind the bullpen. I was like, "Hey, Casey!" And he saw my jersey and he threw me a ball. I was like, "That's really cool." Fangirled a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he spent pretty much his whole career in Toronto. He was in Washington for a bit, and then he retired. But he was great.
You're still a fan.
He was great.
Is he still playing?
No, he retired.
Oh.
He proposed to his wife by skydiving and writing, "Will you marry me?" in like words on the ground.
Look at him.
He's a star.
He's a star. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I mean, he was a Major League Baseball player, yeah. So he had the money to do it.
No, totally. Yeah, no, yeah, I believe that. So.
Anyways, we're really off topic.
That's there. Fine. That's what a podcast is. You just talk.
Anyway.
So. To wrap it up, because we've been at this for an hour. See how easy it is to fill an hour?
Oh, wow.
See how it is?
Did I say everything I wanted to say?
Well, I don't know. Did you? Like, we're talking about being a, you know, being a server, being a bartender, and doing it as a living.
Should we talk about, like...
You can talk about whatever. Start it. Start whatever you're feeling.
Okay. Well, I mean, people who live here know. Maybe not. I don't even know, like, if... Even my parents understand fully about tipping and all that because, like,
tipping's big in your world.
Well, okay. I don't live in Europe. I don't live in Australia where tips included in our wages. No.
So explain the tipping system then.
Okay, so I don't even think I don't know how many people know what unless you've worked in the industry.
Well, listen, I'll tell you right now, the road you're going down, you're gonna get. You're going to get some hard pushback.
Okay. Because
people, listen, I'm telling you right now, let me spell it out. There's people that are going to be on your side, and there's people that are going to be so viciously
and the people who are so against my side are going to pay a lot. They can move somewhere, and they can pay a lot fucking more for their meal because their tip will be included in the price of their meal.
I'm just warning you. If you go down the road of tipping.
Here we go.
And I'm going to tell this. This is what I'm going to say. Wait.
I fully understand. They just don't understand it. People who are mad about tipping just don't understand it.
I'm going to say this. I tip. I think tipping is okay. But if you don't tip, that's fine too. It's a fucking preference thing.
Okay,
go.
Here it goes.
Say what you need to say.
People in, say, Europe, most of Europe, Australia, they get paid like $25 to $30 an hour to serve.
Do you know that for sure?
Yes.
Okay, let's look it up. Let's fact check. Keep going.
Okay, it's because their tips are included in their wage. Okay? Whereas here, We get paid less than minimum wage. We get paid $12 an hour, at least in Ontario. I don't know. In the States, I know it's way less. It's like, it could be like $5 an hour. It's
okay, so
horrible.
Here we go. So French waiter. So this is the first one that I just did, the first one that popped up. French waiters are paid on average about two. It equates to be about 2,000 American a month. Only a shade more than the statutory minimum wage. And they usually expect some sort of tip. So that's
okay, that's French. I'm not saying every country. There's some countries that don't expect you. You can't tip them. Australia. Check Australia. You're not like, I've had customers say we cannot tip in Australia. Okay, are we going to like not talk while you search this?
Wait, here, let me gotta move the mic. Okay, so while Canada has been engulfed in a debate around the minimum wage in recent months, it's a given in Australia that a barista making your latte or fast
barista
food...
Barista is not a server.
Serving your burger is earning at least $20 an hour. That's, okay, so this is burger and like...
So coffee. That's even lower than a server. So I'm saying a bartender is going to make more than that.
Let's try... Wait, let's look up... Let's do bartender. Okay, Australian...
No, server.
I did say, I said server, but they gave me fast food and coffee. So Australian bartender wage. There we go. So regardless of where, when you work, you'll be on a very similar wage. According to Payscale, the average wage for an Australian bartender is about $20 an hour. $20.52 per hour.
Okay, well, I've heard a bunch of people from Australia say it's like $25 an hour.
Okay, well, this is just a quick Google search, so we don't know. We'll go with this stat.
Okay.
For the sake
okay.
of the
do you want to
we'll
do you want to see
stat.
For North America? It's like $8 an hour.
Let's look up North America then. Okay. Each province has so this is actually for Canada. So each province has its own minimum wage for servers, from $8.90 an hour in Quebec to $9.55 in Ontario. But a large portion of the bartender's wages tends to come from
supplemented
tips,
from tips,
which can range from a few dollars to over $1,000 a shift. Okay, so now that we have a baseline,
there we go.
Way to do this.
So $20 an hour versus less than $10 an hour.
Okay,
that makes up a lot
that,
when you're working.
Disclaimer: that was a quick Google search. I'm
when
sure
you're working
more
40
stats.
Hours a week, 20 versus 10, less than 10 is huge, right?
Right.
Huge, huge.
Right.
Plus. When our tips go through, say I sell $1,000 worth of food and beverage a shift, okay? Say out of that $1,000, no matter if I get tipped or not, 5.5% of that gets taken off directly. Say I don't get tipped at all on $1,000, okay? That means $55 because 5.5% of that I have to tip out to back of house, so cooks... line cooks, support staff, hosts, bussers, all that. So 5.5 automatically, if I don't get tipped, $55 off that $1,000, I have to pay. Okay?
What do you mean by you have to pay?
So say I work a shift and no one tips me.
Okay.
Just for the sake of the argument. No one tips me in that whole shift and I sell $1,000. $55 has to come out of my pocket. 5.5% of that $1,000, I have to pay to my kitchen, hosts, service managers, bussers, all that. So if I don't get tipped, I literally pay you to eat.
Okay.
So on top of my $12 an hour when minimum wage is 15 something, I have to pay 5.5% of your bill for you to eat. So when you tip me 15%. I really only make 9.5% of that. So that's why in places like busy downtown Toronto, a respectable tip is 18 to 20%. Because we have higher tip out rates because we have more staff to bus our tables, to host, to bring you to your tables, all that. And that makes it better for a guest's experience because it gives you a faster service. If we don't have bussers, we're not going to have tables flipped like in a second as soon as one table leaves. The table's going to sit there. If it's left up to the servers, we're going to take a while because we're dealing with other tables. So in a busy downtown Toronto restaurant, a high tip out rate is normal because we have all this support staff to make your stay more enjoyable. You're not going to have to wait for your table for that extra 10 minutes. You're not going to have to wait for your food for that extra 10 minutes. You're going to save a lot of time. When you walk into a fucking busy restaurant when there's a wait list and everyone's going chaotic and blah, 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 and you don't tip 15 to 20%, because you had to wait 5 minutes for a table when you see people running around and working their asses off, that's bullshit.
Sure. I agree with you. And you know what? We'll do this. I'll say I agree.
Everyone's working their ass off to make sure you have a great stay.
Totally. And I totally get it. And for...
Eat at home if you don't want to wait.
Okay. I agree with tipping is great. And I like...
If your server's a bitch, then whatever. It's a different story.
I tip and I think tipping is great. And I think you should because... If the math doesn't fucking apply to you and you don't care about anything else other than the human decency of someone waiting on you and taking care of you, that's why you should tip. The math and all the other shit is whatever. It just comes with the territory. But I'm saying for the sake of what's happening, so going out and having beers, having someone take care of you, I agree. 100% I agree. So we're going to take that argument and I'm just going to shelve it over here for a minute and play devil's advocate. And I'm going to say this, and it's a question. It's not a belief. It's just something to keep the conversation going. Why then? Why are people so against it? Because people are against it because they say, if you don't like it, get another job. So what do you say to someone who says, it's not my problem that you chose a profession that has to do this? What would you say to that?
Server minimum wage is always going to be lower. And, okay, so I'm going to tell them that, and I'm going to tell them I also, if you don't tip me, I'm paying for you to eat. So your bill is $100, you don't tip me, I'm paying $5.50 for you to eat out of my own pocket. So.
I think tip. Moral of the story, moral of this whole debacle is tip. What is the structure of moving up inside of the serving industry, let's say? Service industry in a restaurant or a bar, and you want to do it for the rest of your life because you love it. You love the fast pace. You love the people. You love talking, whatever. What is the ladder climb then?
Well, I want to own my own place one day, but...
What kind of restaurant are you opening?
Just like a little bar. Not a big thing. I don't want anything corporate.
Like a whiskey bar?
Like a wine bar.
A wine bar.
A wine and like finger food. I'm a big appetizer fan. So
apps are really wonderful.
I like wine and like sharing plates. I love that idea. I love it. I love like the chandelier look with like damask wallpaper and candles and just like fancy but like affordable.
You know? Fancy like Chibo.
I don't want like super high end. I want like Chiba's a little rustic for my liking. I want it to look a little more fancy.
I like the rustic look.
I do. I love the rustic look, but I think it's very overdone in today's day and age. But
so you would open up a like a classy wine bar, but accessible to most patrons.
Yeah, like
tippers and non-tippers.
Yes.
Or tippers need
not. Everyone's welcome.
Everybody's welcome. So to wrap it up, to end it, because we've been at this for what? An hour and a half. See, it's really nice to fill an hour and a half. What would you say to all the aspiring restaurant owners who have to go through this bullshit of being a server and putting up with the nonsense and the creepy people and all that? What would you say as advice or as a career commentary on how to get where they need to go? If they have the same aspirations of you as opening up your own place, what would you say to all of the people out there?
If you don't already love serving, then you're not going to love owning a place. Really. Honestly. Like, if you are thinking about quitting serving already, then you're not going to want to own a place. Because owning a place, I've worked for a lady who owned her own bar, and she was... the only manager. She was the owner, the manager, the everything. There was maybe 8 employees, like front of house, I mean bar and serving wise. 8 isn't generous. That was her life. Like, she was there. It's same as serving. You're there all the time. You need to be on your feet. You need to be there. You need to be young at heart your whole time. So if you're not ready for that, then find something else. If you're ready for that, if you want to be young at heart your whole life and you want to be interacting with people all the time and you're not an introvert who's going to shy away from that, if you're down for that, then go for it. Because that's how I feel. And I've worked for someone like me. I've heard people at my work tell me, oh, I've known this lady who was just like you, who was a server into her 30s, and now she owns this great place. And like, I've actually heard people I work with tell me they remind me of this lady they knew. And I'm like, okay, that's going to be me. I'm going to own a sick place one day. And that's me. So go for it.
That was Starving Artist podcast number 3. And thank you for listening. See you guys later.